Back to our series entitled The God of New Beginnings. This is part 11. Now, back in part 6, we talked about how church should be a place of refuge. Today, we want to explore what the scriptures say about church being a house of healing. So let's go to Luke 5:17. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Now this is the part I want to focus on. Near the end of verse 17, it says, "And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick." The power of the Lord was with Jesus. The power of the Lord was always with Jesus, but Luke is making a point of saying that Jesus possesses the power of the living God. This event I just read happened early in Jesus' ministry. It's only the 5th chapter in the Gospel of Luke, and Luke wants to make clear to all his readers that Jesus possesses the power of the living God, and that that power heals. The power of the Lord was present with Jesus when he walked on the earth as a man, and the power of the Lord is present with Jesus even here at this moment, when Jesus is present by his Holy Spirit. And when Jesus is near, healing happens. Let's look at another passage, Matthew 4:23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So, wherever Jesus went, there was healing, and healing of various kinds. It says various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed. Or there can be afflictions of a spiritual nature, dark spirits. They don't always possess. Most often, dark spirits just afflict and torment. But when Jesus shows up, they torment no more. Also, those having seizures, the paralyzed, all these things Jesus had the power to heal. And consider that the knowledge of Jesus' healing power was so widespread and indisputable that even his enemies didn't try to deny that he did these things. The best they could do was to try to say, "It was not the power of God, it was the power of Satan at work," which was a ridiculous claim. His enemies only said this because they had no way of disputing his healing power. It was absurd, but that was the only argument that they could make against him. because his healing power was indisputable. Wherever Jesus went, wherever Jesus goes today, there is healing of one kind or another. Luke 6:17, it says, "He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all." Interesting words, those troubled by impure spirits. We can be troubled by impure or evil spirits and not be possessed. Possession is an extreme thing, but being troubled by evil spirits is rather common. Luke 13:11 talks about Jesus healing a woman who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Sometimes sickness isn't just sickness. There can be dark forces behind it. Sometimes depression isn't just depression. There can be dark forces behind it. But even if sickness is just sickness and depression is just depression, the devil loves to pile on top of it all, and by dark and disturbing thoughts he might send our way, use whatever is bothering us to try his best to crush us with that. Sometimes he influences other people to add to our misery, as happened to Job when his friends came to tell him his afflictions were due to his sin, which was exactly the opposite of the truth. And I'm quite confident that it was Satan that sent them to Job to demoralize him, kind of like what God says about the false prophets in the days of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 13:22, God said they disheartened the righteous by their lies when he had brought them no grief. That's what Satan loves to do, use people under his influence to dishearten us. When we are not on our guard and we get into a negative mood, he can use us to dishearten each other if we are not careful and watchful about his schemes. But the thing is, we don't need to get ourselves into a tizzy over the question, is this a natural or spiritual affliction, a natural or spiritual sickness or disease? Because the presence of Jesus is the answer to both the natural and the supernatural. We might be tempted to think, well, I must be a terrible person to be afflicted by dark forces. Oh, not at all. Often the opposite is true. The Apostle Paul himself mentions having what he refers to as a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment him. He doesn't say exactly what this thorn was, but he knew it was from Satan. And he went to the Lord about it, and the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient for you." Dark forces can trouble us, but the closer we draw to Jesus, and the more grace we draw from Jesus, the more the living God and his word fills our hearts and fills our minds, the smaller and weaker the darkness becomes. Joy comes in spite of pain, and our darkness turns to light. When darkness meets light, light always wins, always. But where there is no light, that's when darkness gets its way. Acts 10:38 talks about how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. And 1 John 3:8 says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Sickness and death entered the world through sin, and sin entered through the work of the devil. And Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. And healing people destroys and reverses his work. Here's another passage. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Wherever Jesus is near, there is healing. Here's another, Matthew 14:34. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. All who touched even the edge of his cloak were healed. Often, we don't even know what ails us, and we come into the presence of Jesus, turn our eyes on him, reflect on his nature and the beauty of his character, most importantly, the depth of his love for us. What love compelled the Son of the Most High, the second person of the Eternal Trinity, the bright and morning star? What love compelled him to look on our plight and to say to the Eternal Father, here I am, I will go and save them? And so he came to earth to be born of a simple, humble woman. But not just to come to earth to die. And not just to die the worst, most humiliating, dishonorable, and painful death on a cross. And worst of all, to suffer the wrath of a holy God in the place of his beloved ones. What love is this? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul? Easier to plumb the depths of the ocean than to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Jesus, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge? We come to Jesus and his deep, deep love with all our pains, all our afflictions, all our PTSD, all our troubles. And not only do our troubles melt away in that ocean of love, but healing happens. Body, soul, spirit, deep healing.
Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting he passed, and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. And turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.